Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout. Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in-store or at target.com/circlecard.
Guys, I'm freezing.
Why? Why don't you have any heat on?
I don't have the heat on because we found out that the house that we bought is really old, built in 1979.
That's old for California, not the rest of the earth.
That's not that old, but.
Well, in California, that's old, especially when the hardware that was put in the house is still the hardware.
Oh yeah. When I redid
my 2020,
dude, when I fixed up my house, I pulled cloth wiring out of the wall. So that's cloth wiring is like from the 30s.
My dude. The heater is from 1979 and was broken.
Yeah, well, didn't you think when you bought a 1979 house you were probably going to need to fix the heater?
It's not over.
Oh god.
My wife was like, why won't the downstairs heat up?
Right.
It's a little warm, but it's cold outside. If you live in Los Angeles right now, you know how cold it is.
Right. For LA, yes.
My dude, I have two hoodies on right now. That's how cold it is.
I know. Okay.
Oh, poor baby.
So look, the HVAC guy comes out, turns it on. Goes for a little walk around the house to try and feel the heat.
Oh, I thought you meant he was so upset by what he saw, he needs to go on a walk.
Turns it on. Right. Goes around the house, tries to feel the heat, doesn't feel it. Goes to check back on the heater. There's smoke. Mm. He's like, what the?
Didn't you have an inspector that would have looked at this before you bought
the inspector
house?
Missed this. I don't know how, but the inspector missed a lot of shit this time around.
The inspector,
I don't know what the fuck the inspector was doing when inspecting my house, but the inspector missed a lot of shit, Zach.
Right.
A lot of shit.
Well,
a lot
you
of
should
shit.
Tell that inspector, you should call him and be like, hey, you know, just so you know, you missed all of this shit.
And that's going to do nothing.
No, it might make you feel better to be like, bro, you should have turned the heater on and seen that it was smoking.
Leave a bad review on Yelp.
Hey. Not only that, it was leaking ozone. There's a little thing called carbon monoxide poisoning.
Right. Well, this is, I'm sorry that this has happened to you.
He immediately shut off the heat, Zach.
You know you're yelling. I just want you to know.
I'm upset.
I know.
And it, you know what?
But I want you to know that we're welcoming our audience in and you're kind of screaming at them.
Well, they need to hear this because I need to be.
Well, I know, but we have a microphone. You don't have to yell at a level that they can hear it, you know, without the mic across the country.
You're going to have to adjust. He's right. You are going to have to adjust.
Don't you worry about it. That's on me.
Welcome, listeners. I apologize, but one of our co-hosts is very mad right now.
He cut the heat off.
Right.
Throughout the house.
Yes.
Except for my children's room and our bedroom.
Okay.
To roam around my house. It is so cold.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that you're going to buy a new heater, right?
Yes, Zach.
Or are you going to live like this?
No, Zach.
Or you can make your kids wear double hoodies. Hey, I have to eat my words, audience. I just want to say, and I should have learned, I should know this lesson, because so many great shows that I love do not kick in for a few episodes. Mm. Sometimes you're kind of like, okay, I'm curious, but I want to see more. You've intrigued me. I've seen a lot of love for Shrinking on the interwebs, but I got to say, when this goes live, there'll be four that will be up, and episode 3 and 4 are really good, so check it out. But I continued because of all the love for Last of Us, episode 3, including from Joelle. And from so many other people I know, and people on Instagram were like, wow. And so without any spoilers, I'm just going to say that was a really beautiful episode, and I really liked it a lot. And it was an example of how a show about zombies can be about way more.
Yeah, it's a show about love, all different types of love.
And now, Joelle, I have a question for you, because I'm not really on, I'm not on Twitter or Facebook or TikTok or, you know.
Sure.
J-date. what was the reaction to it being, I'll just say the obvious that's everywhere, that it being a gay couple? Because it wasn't that way, I assume, in the game. And I know that people can get very hostile about these kind of things. How was the reaction on the interwebs?
I'm going to say very, very, very light game spoilers. It's different than the game. In the game, it's hinted that these two are in a relationship. And
they just went all the way on the show.
That's yeah, really well, and happened. In the game, it's so much more tragic. They, one of the characters does not decide to change or evolve at all, and it causes the other character to grow resentful and eventually meets his end in a very sad and tragic way. Versus here, where it's just such a loving story. I think the reactions have been mixed, and critically, it's a huge success, I think, for the queer community. It's oh, gosh, it's so wonderful. This is no spoilers if you know anything about this show. But it's two middle-aged men falling for one another. And it's really lovely, and it's not something we get to see a lot. Some of the gamer bros were upset. I've seen ridiculous comments like, oh, this is a filler episode, or this doesn't push the plot forward. I would say go back and watch the opening and closing scenes and reflect on what that middle portion is telling you about your two main characters. I think it's very lovely and powerful. And
I wondered, because I know that there's been controversies with the gamer community and thinking that things were becoming woke and all sort of culture that I'm not really that savvy on, and I know you are. And I just wondered if there was. I thought it was so beautiful. I just wondered if that how the web responded. You're saying pretty positively, except for obvious exceptions.
Yeah, that one small toxic community is upset, but I don't.
Did you call them gamer bros? Is that what they're called?
There is a group of people called gamer bros. I think the gamer bros were mostly excited about this development and change. The toxic bros were less so. But, you know,
there's
come
a group
back
called
anyway
the toxic bros.
The toxic bros.
You know what just
the internet has a lot of toxic bros.
Yeah, just angry dudes who are like, why do I have to look at gay people?
Yeah.
Get a life.
Yeah.
We're here.
I heard this quote from this writer, Seth Godin, that really stuck with me about social media. And he said, I have no interest reading people day trading their emotions.
Oh, yes. Mm. Oh, yes.
That's
and
a good one.
That really landed with me. I was like, wow, that kind of is what so much of the internet is. People day trading their emotions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Facts.
That fucking landed with me.
Yeah. Get off the internet, guys. It's better than the real world.
Yo, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. The internet is great for shopping. That's really it, dude. Like 100% be like 100 and you know what I mean? Like, because now even news is like, where are you getting your news? You know what I mean? Like, that's the next, well, I read on the news. Well, where are you getting your news? Because everybody has a different point of view when it comes
and
to
in
news.
The spirit of that, I just want to give a shout out to this book I'm reading, which will blow your mind. And you guys all have to read it. And if you're a reader out there or listen to the audiobook, it's called The Chaos Machine. I heard about it on this different podcast, and it's The Chaos Machine, the inside story of how social media rewired our minds and our world. It's by Max Fisher. You can get it on audiobook or obviously regular book. But it is blowing my mind. And it's it's just really, really fascinating and about exactly what Donald said about how the world now consumes news and blah blah blah.
Well, we are your favorite entertainment source when it comes to, if you're listening right now, when it comes to news. So I got some news.
Uh-oh.
I finally watched Black Panther 2.
Oh. That was not the reveal I was expecting. I would have thought.
What were you expecting?
I thought you were going to say Shrinking. Did you watch Shrinking?
Mm. No.
Wow, I even asked you to.
It's so funny.
I want to watch Shrinking, the movie, not Shrinking. That's I like to binge, man. I don't. Well, that's just how I am.
Okay. Well, there's four up. You can watch four, for goodness sake. But anyway,
But then by the time I get to five, I'm going to be like, come on, man. I need more.
Listen, a man can only ask. That's all.
No so disrespect. Tell us some... No disrespect to Mr. Harrison Ford. No disrespect to Mr. Bill Lawrence.
I think they both would feel disrespected. In fact, I'm going to text them both.
Oh, word.
I'm going to text them both. That's what's funny. It's like, it's so hard to get you to watch something. And I'm like, what if there was a piece of content that was written by one of your favorite writers and stars your favorite actor? You're like, nope. So anyway, okay, go ahead with what you did watch. You watched Black Panther 2?
Oh my goodness gracious, man. First of all, Michael B. Jordan is growing as a star. And when I say he's growing as a star, he is getting very, very good at acting and touching anger emotions. Like in this movie, for those of you who've seen it, you know, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but by the time it gets to his part, holy cow, Killmonger was right. Killmonger was right. That's all I'm going to say.
Red alert. Red alert. No.
Whoa.
Daniel, is our special guest for the audience here?
Our special guest is in the waiting room.
Okay, let's bring her in. Audience, this is the finale of season 7. And by the way, some trivia for you guys. I don't know if you even knew this, Donald, Faison. This is the 150th episode of Scrubs.
Wow. I did not know that. We should 5, 6, 7, 8 before we get into anything, right?
Okay. No, do it. Do it, and then we'll bring in the special guest.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Some stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that you all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Dono.
Mm-hmm. So welcome everybody to the 150th episode of Scrubs. It is also the Princess Bride homage episode and is also the season 7 finale. And we've told you that audiences thought it was a series finale because we didn't know if we were coming back. It was never intended to be that. And gosh, I got to tell you, I really, really, really enjoyed it. I don't think I've seen it since. And it's really fun.
Well, this episode is definitely one of those episodes that has to happen before Kelso gets eliminated from the hospital.
Mm.
Because if it doesn't, it doesn't make sense, right?
So. Right.
If this were the season, this is what's crazy about that the writer's strike and what happened. If this were like in the beginning of the series, I mean the beginning of the season, like it was meant to be,
right?
It would have made a lot more sense. But watching it, I'm like, wait a second, they almost kissed. Wait a second, I don't understand what's. And then I had to remember, oh, that's right, this is out of whack. But yes, very funny.
Yeah. And a lot of money was spent. It's got to be the biggest budget Scrubs episode ever.
I think, yeah, easily. So much special effects. Just gluing Judy and I together had to cost most of the budgets that would have been on all of the other episodes.
And also the monster and the sets and everything. But like, before we get into it, let's bring in the very special guest, the princess herself, everybody, all the way from Canada. Daniel, hit the button and let her in. Let's see everyone if she
applause.
Can handle, if she can get in without any mess ups. Let's watch.
Hey!
Is it working? Sarah Chalk,
Sarah
everybody.
Sarah Chalk, y'all.
Sarah Chalk, everybody.
Give it up for Sarah Chalk. Thunderous applause continue.
Daniel, do I get an A+? Is it working? Is everything working?
You're recording on your phone. Your headphones are in. We can hear you.
Sarah, I'm so proud of you. It took 7 seasons.
Guys, it's happening. Yeah, I had a little bit of anticipatory technological anxiety. I felt like it was time that I did it right.
You nailed it.
I know. I texted Sarah this morning. I said, hey, just remember, it's 11 a.m. And she said, I'm anxious. It was like 8:30. She's like, I'm already anxious about being able to get on correctly.
I'm worried about the headphone situation. I was driving the kids to school and I was like, the charging, everything needs to be charged. The computer needs to be charged. The headphones need to be charged. My brain needs to be charged.
I am so proud of you.
I'm so proud of you, Sarah. It's 7 seasons. So we're running out of time, so we really needed you to get one right.
To be no insult, no sly remarks.
No, I'm not making any. I love you, and I'm so happy you're here. And gosh darn it, are you beautiful in this episode of television? I mean, you're beautiful now on the Zoom call.
You're beautiful right now.
You are so pretty. I couldn't take my eyes off you. You look so stunning in this episode.
Well, that is very kind. I feel like I had a good director.
Yeah.
Before we get into the episode, let's get into some conversation.
Yeah.
Have you talked to my wife at all?
No, me, no. Recent?
Since Firefly Lane. Yes, since Firefly Lane has come out.
Oh, I haven't. I got to see your wife recently, a couple months ago.
She told me not to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. She won't watch the second season. She's like, I can't fucking do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it.
Oh, because it messes her up too much?
Oh, she's like, because, yo, dude, at the end of the second season.
Don't spoil it for people,
I'm not going to spoil it, but at the end of the second season, some unfortunate stuff happens, and you know, this is one of Casey's fears. This is one of Casey's fears. This is a lot of women's fears. And oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. When I tell you the breakdown that happened and the hugging that I had to do and all
the
that
hugging
stuff,
that I had to do.
Because it was Gudge, man. All she could say is Gudge, not Gudge, not Gudge.
Gudge is, for those, I don't think the audience knows that. That's one of Sarah and Casey's nicknames for each other. Gudge.
Yes.
Good. It started out when I was in high school, and it's sort of a weird, long story, and it makes no sense, but Gudge.
For gorgeous, so, right? Isn't gorgeous the beginning?
It was sort of a weird version of that. But I, you're welcome for the free hugs you got, Donald.
I know, Donald. You should be happy about the hugs you got.
These were sobbing hugs.
Donald doesn't like them because he couldn't turn them into sexual.
Yeah, this wasn't the type of hugs that turned
wasn't
into
the right kind of hug.
Reverse cowgirl. This was the kind of hug.
Oh my God, Donald, you're ridiculous. These weren't the kind of hugs that turned into reverse cowgirl.
Okay, I'll try and do something next that can be.
Yeah, Sarah, can you whatever show you do next, Sarah, can you make sure it gets Donald Lee?
Because we're fans in this house. There's some fans in this house. There's some fans in this house. Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Hey, listeners, how is your social battery right now?
It can be easy for people to ignore their social battery and spread themselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
Everyone has a different capacity for socializing and different ways of recharging. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time.
Either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/RealFriends today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/RealFriends. We love you over here. And so anything you do, we watch. You know this.
I love you guys. And that's what's been fun about, like, finally being able to, like, fly and travel again over the past little bit as I've got to see you guys.
Sarah, I think we're wearing the same sweatshirt brand. Are you wearing Aviator Nation?
The shirt?
The sweatshirt is. Oh, my God. And sweatpants. My favorite brand. That's not a sponsor, guys. I just love them. They're so cozy. Aviator Nation.
I was talking to a friend of mine who knows someone who works there, and they said it's so soft because they wash it 20 times first. So there's why.
Oh, there you go.
So when you get it, it's clean?
No, it's just so extra soft and cozy. They have this one called the Ninja that has this front thing. You see it? I have like it in every color.
Oh. Mm. I don't have that one.
Sarah, they might have this in Vancouver.
Do you have it in black? Ooh, you should wear it in black. It's probably best in black.
Why? Of course.
Because it's the Ninja.
Oh, no, I have it. I have it in all sorts of other colors, though. Sarah, let's get into the episode. And Donald, it was written by Mark Stegman. Okay. It was directed by a young Zach Braff.
Wait, yes. Breep, before we get into the episode, should we quickly discuss the other show that we all just watched?
Oh, Donald didn't watch it, but I would love to. No, we haven't. Please talk about Shrinking because I couldn't get. But Joelle, you watched it, right?
I don't know if Daniel did.
I watched the first episode. I watched the first episode with Stephanie. We haven't watched the other two yet.
Okay. Joelle, you love it, right?
Oh, I love it a lot. That Jessica Williams, so good.
Sarah, your thoughts?
Oh, my God. I loved it so fucking much. I would like to sit all day in my house, in my house, and just watch it all of the episodes in
See
a row.
See what I'm saying? I told you. See? Shrinking the movie. Yeah. Is what I'm talking about.
Donald just to catch Sarah up. Donald is saying he's not going to wait until he can binge the whole thing. He's not going to watch until he can binge the whole thing. So he's dying on that hill, even though it's his favorite movie star and his favorite comedy writer.
Right. It is. Well, I actually
next season you throw Denzel in there, I'll still do the same thing. Sorry, Sarah.
Go ahead, Sarah. That'd be amazing if Denzel came on. As a patient to Harrison? Oh, my God. All right, go ahead, Sarah.
Make it happen. Bill, make it happen.
It's just Apple. They just have to pay them. Well, go ahead.
I just fucking loved it so much. I thought the whole cast was phenomenal. Every single one of them. I think it's my favorite thing that Krista's ever done. I thought she was so great.
I told y'all. Didn't I tell you, Sarah? Didn't I tell you? Remember when we were at dinner?
You told me.
Remember when we were at dinner? Remember when we were at dinner?
I showed
with
Donald
fucking
Mike.
Krista. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, remember mm-hmm. what I told you?
Yep.
Did I not tell you? Did I not tell you?
You told me. You guys, audience, he's standing up and yelling into the mic.
But he did tell me.
If you're confused, audience, I showed Donald my director's cut of episode 8 out of context and filled him in on backstory. And he loved it. And he was like, holy shit, Krista is crushing. And that's how he knows that. Okay, Sarah, now you're
crushing. When she says, say it, not everyone here is a fucking idiot. Atta girl. It just made me laugh so hard. And like Joelle was saying, I mean, Jessica Williams was so good. I mean, there was one line where she is talking to Harrison and Jason Segel about Harrison Ford's daughter. And she says, tell us about your daughter. He says she lives in Connecticut. And the way she delivers, wow, it's like she's in the room with.
Jessica Williams is a real talent.
Her delivery was so good. Oh, it was, I loved it. I loved everything about it. And I thought it's like, it captures like, Bill always does this so well where you're laughing out loud and then all of a sudden you notice it's like a tear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the Bill Lawrence special. As Scrubs
Bill
fans
Lawrence
know.
Special.
So there you go. Even Canadians love it, everybody. Check it out. It's on Apple. There's 4 episodes up now, so check it out.
And you're going to love it. There's a lot of Scrubs people in it.
Yes.
Like Randall, Okay, I'm
Sarah, sorry. We love you, and we love Randall. You plugging shrinking, but we should get into the television show Scrubs and a very special episode. I have not seen this, as I imagine you guys haven't, since it aired, but it's just so fun to watch it. And I had forgotten that it's so clever in the writing, bouncing back and forth between the hospital and the fantasies, the princess part. That was some of the ways that was done with the writing, and the director made some interesting choices.
Are you trying to fish for these compliments?
No. Buddy? I'm trying to just say objectively.
I mean, because this was probably the highest level. You've gotten probably the biggest Scrubs episodes of all directors.
I did, because Bill trusted me. It started off with them being competitive and being like, you want to direct? Direct this. And he gave me like that huge one where we go on the quest for Heather Graham. And that was like so hard. And then it became like he really liked, you know, then he really trusted me, and he would give me these big ones. But this was, I think, the biggest one we ever did by far.
Oh, man.
This in the musical.
I think this
the
is
the most
probably,
cranes.
Yeah, I think this one costs way more than the musical.
No, I just meant big in terms of effort put into it. You know what I mean? And money-wise, this was definitely the biggest budget one, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Well, the more money, the bigger the budget, the bigger the scope, and the bigger the scale, right? Usually, right?
So I thought the effects for whatever year it was, it must have been, what year was it, Joelle?
We're in 2008 right now.
It looked really good. I think for they looked pretty good for 2008.
The whole episode is great. It's really clever, man. You nailed it when you said clever. It's really clever.
Yeah. So it's an homage to The Princess Bride. Most of you, I'm sure, know, but that's a wonderful movie where a grandfather, I believe, is telling a story to
grandson.
Mm-hmm. So we do the same thing with Cox talking to his son and telling him a bedtime story. And so just to set it up, we're in the ICU, and Doug says something
Doug's very inappropriate.
Doug is very inappropriate.
You keep wheeling him in, I'll keep wheeling him out.
Yes, that's what he says, was he's wheeling a corpse out.
In front of an old man as he's being pushed into the ICU.
Yeah, Doug's not very appropriate, I think it's safe to say.
Neither is the Todd.
Yes, so then we learned that Turk and Carla are kind of becoming a little bit of a know-it-all couple now that they have got the parent thing dialed. They're like, they're always arm in arm, and they're always being know-it-alls together. And Turk brags that they stocked up on baby oil, lotion, and diapers.
Do you feel like that when you're out with your couple friends, like when you're out with Carrie and Jess, or when you're out with me and Case?
No, but I know nothing, so it's not like, I always say, it's funny for me, because all I've done is train a dog, so I'm like, I know nothing. The only thing I contribute is, this is what worked for my dog. and then parents always look at you like, you motherfucker, you think you know anything with your dog? Your dog isn't crying for hours straight at night. But anyway, the Todd said, after Turk suggests, brags about how they stocked up on baby oil, lotion, and the diapers, the Todd says, why? Is there a party this weekend?
And then everyone freezes.
Yes, go ahead.
With the Todd, if we didn't move and stayed very quiet, he'd eventually get confused and leave.
Now, mind you guys, this is the top surgeon in the hospital.
Yes.
And he's baffled by us all freezing. He doesn't know what to do.
Yes, but he'll cut you open real right. He'll hook you up real right.
In a banana hammock.
Yeah, we all freeze, and he doesn't know what. He's so baffled that he just walks out, and then Cox continues like, "All right, we're back."
Right. Keith is back now. How does this happen? And Kelso's chief again. How does this happen?
The chief thing was an out-of-order thing, I think, related, again, to the strike and maybe the show ending. So, yeah, that is a bit of a fuck-up in terms of – that's just – I know. And this, I don't think it was meant to go in this order.
Oh, but anyway, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so Kelso is back to being chief, even though we know he's not anymore. I saw a funny little Easter egg, Donald. It's probably not a real Easter egg. But as Kelso is yelling at everyone to not work beyond 12 hours, Deontay is in the background.
Yes, he is.
And do you remember the Deontay story that he worked so many hours once, he never told the ADs that he was still on the clock.
No, that was me that did that, bud.
Tell the story. I just remember that there was a crazy thing about Deontay staying way too many hours and getting paid.
Maybe he got paid too for it, but I once worked for 24 hours.
Deontay must have rode that wave with you, buddy.
Yes, because we were working night shoots, but there was two units. And night shoots kind of rolled over into day shoots. And instead of complaining and being like, yo, I've been working for over 16 hours, I saw the silver lining because some of it was downtime too. I was like, let's see how far I can stretch this out because I'm now at the point where this check is going to be massive. So I took a couple of naps in my dressing room and
collected money. But I remember, what do you call it? Drifting in cycling when you're behind someone? Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Deontay just drifted behind you and collected his version of that check. And I remember, obviously, the 80s aren't going to yell at you, or maybe they did. Maybe Randall yelled at you.
Randall,
that he had any footing to stand on because it wasn't your fault.
Randall was like, this will never ever. He got real freaking like African-American movie dramatic. This will never ever.
Well, all I remember is the 80s yelled at Deontay, and I just thought it was a funny thing because of all the background performers to be in the shot as Kelso's yelling at everyone to not dare work over 12 hours, Deontay's in the back nodding his head, which I thought was funny. Okay, so Ted is asked to describe what happens in a courtroom, and he says that, quote, the law is wearing black robes and white wigs. And Kelso says, that's England, Ted.
The fact that a lot of these people are able to hold jobs. Like, and then he's like, are you sure?
Yeah. Are you sure? Now, Elliot and Keith, Sarah, what's happening here? You're alternating between name calling and his pleas to get back together.
Yeah. So I guess Keith and I had broken up and he's treating me respectfully in the hospital, and then he goes outside to sob.
Yeah. Well,
he's understandably devastated.
This is another. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, he lost Sarah Chalk. Right. I get it. Now, this is
Elliot Reed.
Well, both. This is something that must have happened out of order too, I think, obviously, because I don't think we're.
Well, it happened at the beginning of the season, right?
It wouldn't be revisiting. Probably wouldn't be revisiting Keith if this wasn't a bit out of order.
It happened in the beginning of the season, for sure.
You know why also, Donald Faison? Because we're talking about the almost kiss that ended season 6.
Yes.
Right. And then I guess because of the strike, they just wanted this to be placed where it was at the finale.
We'll have to ask Bill, but it was a... do you want to even ask Bill, like the old school days, Joelle?
Yeah.
Bill's busy, bro.
He's so busy. We can try.
If we're lucky, let's try.
Bill, this is us, Sarah, Donald, Joelle, and Daniel.
The original three.
Can you explain, because we're only guessing, why the... we know it has something to do with the writer's strike, but why is this Princess Bride episode made to be the last one when chronologically it feels like it was meant to go earlier? Kelso is still the chief of medicine. We're discussing the kiss that almost happened that ended season 6. Where was this intended to go in the season 7 storyline?
Hey, Zach. Hey, Donald. Hey, Sarah. Thanks for doing my podcast. I appreciate it. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Here's some stories.
That better have happened. That stuff still needs to happen. Anyways, look, I really appreciate the question. Shrinking, it comes out once a week only. So yeah, we released the first two the first weekend, and then one comes out every week. I think it comes out sometimes like Thursday night at midnight East Coast time, but it comes out Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then it's 10 episodes, so we'll do it that way. Besides that, season 7 of Scrubs, look, here's the scoop. It was a writer's strike, and I wasn't allowed to be in editing, and luckily I had most of the episodes done that we had finished. And they, you know, I think NBC just figured they were never airing the show again, so that was it. And the closest thing they had to a season finale, you know, or a series finale was our Princess Bride episode. So they juggled them around, and I was not a fan because it made no sense, because Kelso got, you know, left his job and then was back and then left again. It was all very weird. But that was a product of the strike. And more importantly, though, ABC and Disney was so cool because, if you guys remember, they let us pick up the eighth season of the show, and it changed networks over to ABC. That mattered to me a lot because we always knew what the finale was. We just did not have it shot when there was a writer's strike season 7. That is all. See you guys. Miss you guys. Peace out.
Thank you, Bill, for taking the time. We know you're very busy, and no, this is not your podcast. So whatever jokes you made that were about this being your podcast are not correct.
And yes, Bill, I would love to be in the next episode.
You got a lot of balls. You got a lot of balls. I think when Bill listens to this, the people that are going to get arcs and shrinking are going to be the ones who are actors and who've watched the show. Sarah, don't you think that's probably the case?
I think that's probably accurate. You guys really believe that Bill's going to put you on the show because you watched it?
I think that he would be more inclined to put us on the show that we honor his work. Yeah.
I'm going to watch it. I'm just waiting for...
Yes, we know. We know.
Okay, I'm just putting it out there.
Daniel, what was the genesis of You Honor Me?
Oh,
That's Daniel's catchphrase. That's what
his catchphrase.
But how did where did it come from? Where did it start?
I'm trying to remember. I think I heard it, if I'm being honest, and this is totally plays into me, I heard it in a video game. I was like, that's great. I'm with that.
Oh, so but it's something you use in your real life, not just on You Honor Me is something you say in real life.
It's his catchphrase.
I know, but Gary Coleman didn't say what you're talking about Willis in his real life.
Well, God rest his soul. I don't want to talk ill on the day. But there is a possibility that Gary Coleman might have said what you're talking about somebody
you think that,
outside of doing Different Strokes. There is a possibility.
Do you think that,
say that's what I'm talking about outside
of
Strokes?
Do you think Jaleel White in his real life said, did I do that?
I bet you Jaleel White, after serving somebody on the basketball court and driving by him after the motherfucker was talking all of that shit and laid him, probably went, did I do that? Yeah.
That would be amazing if that were true.
That'd be awesome, dude.
We need to have another segment called Ask Jaleel White, where we ask Jaleel White.
For real, man, I love that brother. Like, I don't talk about him enough. I talk about Dulé a lot. That's another brother that I really, really, really enjoy having conversation with and talking to. Jaleel White has a great sense of humor.
If he ever watched Scrubs, we could have him on.
That would be awesome. He was actually one of the kings of freaking sitcoms back when I was a kid. You know what I mean?
He killed it. I mean, even though, you know, Urkel became sort of a joke. That young man came on that show as a guest, not even star, like a supporting guest spot, and then took over the whole fucking show.
Yes, absolutely.
That's like,
I didn't
so
know that. He started off as a guest.
The show was not about him.
It was failing. The show was failing. He came on, the ratings went up, and then the show was like, we got to get this guy back on.
He became the star of the show, right, Don? Yeah.
Then he became the sitcom version of the guest star version that he played. It's like the evolution of Urkel is like, he went from becoming like this really, really, like he was this smart nerd at school who had this crush on Laura to this genius who could create the Urkel bot. Like, yo, for real, man, the evolution of this character. He created a potion that, a Jekyll and Hyde potion, where there was Stefan and Steven.
Yeah. Oh, it would make
and
him
Stefan
cool?
Stefan was suave and cool. And then Jaleel plays both of them like masterfully. Man, like, dude, this dude, like, for real, man, I'm gonna give you your flowers, Jaleel. You're one of my favorites, man. You, Kadeem, for real, you showed a lot of us when we were coming up how it's done. So if you do listen to Fake Doctors, Real Friends, Jaleel, you deserve that for real. Straight up.
Wow. There you go. I never
thunderous
really
applause, Daniel. Thunderous applause.
I got it, Daniel. All right. That's enough about Jaleel White.
So wait, Zach, would your catchphrase be Eagle, would you say?
I guess if JD had a catchphrase, it would probably be Eagle, right, Donald?
Yeah.
Joel? Yeah, I don't know if there's a Donald's is that's what I'm talking about.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Yours is Frick.
Yeah, yours is Frick, double Frick, Frick on a stick.
Frick on a stick with a brick.
I think mine would be Frick, Frick, Frick on a stick with a brick, or maybe Janitor.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and we come back. We are going to talk about all the artwork and creativity from our amazing crew that went into making the Princess Bride episode happen. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Let me tell you guys, my family loves our Helix sleep mattress. Ever since we've got it, we've had some of our best sleep yet.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Everybody is unique, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences.
Not only is the mattress the best I've slept on, but the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free.
Helix is offering 20% off of all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/realfriends and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
The season of summer concerts is upon us. When you want to secure the best seat in the house, you know you can't wait until the last minute. You have to be on it. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead.
If you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/realfriends.
ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it.
Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/realfriends.
Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/realfriends.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
And we're back.
Wait, I thought we were going to take a break, too. I thought we were going to chat and hang out on the break.
No, we don't do that, Sarah. But thanks for revealing that to the audience. Sarah, you thought that we were going to spend the commercial time chatting like this is live?
I thought we were going to catch up. I have a lot of stories for you guys.
Donald's on the floor laughing. Donald's on the floor laughing.
Let's get into it.
Well, Sarah. We can talk about whatever
you... Sarah.
Sarah, no, you're so
let's
cute.
Take a no, break. This is, we're going to take a break.
Okay, we'll take a break, but we're going to take a quote-unquote break, but we'll let the audience listen. Okay, we're on a break. Go ahead, Sarah.
How are you? What's up? What's going on?
How are you? You look great.
Thanks, guys. No, I don't have... Nothing
really
happened to me, actually. Actually, it is cold. I have a bit of... That's why my... Is this a bit of frostbite on my face from skiing?
No, shut the fuck
I've
up.
I've got a tiny bit of frostbite right here. No. It was so cold. I skied 3 days in a row, and I should have gone in for more breaks.
Were you at Whistler?
I was at Whistler, and it was just, like, bonkers cold. And obviously this chunk of frostbite right here.
Why don't you have a mask on?
Thanks.
I did. I had like so many layers. Boot heaters were going.
Sarah, I'm coming up to Van Groovy in late April if you want to hang out.
Ooh.
Let's hang out. Actually, there could be a bit of skiing left.
Well, if you happen to be around, we can have dinner and hang out.
You're going in April?
Okay.
End of April, I'm going up for a few days to Van Groovy.
I do love me some Van Groovy.
Come, Donald, come.
End of April is when it's really pretty up there too, right, Sarah?
Oh, it's always pretty. What are you talking about?
Well, I don't like the cold.
It's a rainforest, bro. It's not
a rainforest.
It is.
It is. It's a rainforest.
But when the sun is out in Van Groovy, it's amazing. Oh,
there's nothing prettier.
On the 4 minutes a week.
That's why it's so green, because it rains all the time, so you have to put up with the rain. But I like the rain. I guess because I grew up in it. I don't mind, like, you know, when you grow up here, you have to go outside when it's pouring rain. Otherwise, you would never leave your house. You just get used to doing everything you always do in the rain.
Yeah. Well, you don't mind it. All right, Sarah, I'm gonna tell the audience that we're coming back from our pretend break now, okay?
Ready?
Now, what you're going to do is, Sarah, you're going to, with Donald, you're going to say, no, you're just going to say, and we're back.
Ready? And we're back.
You ready, Sarah? And, well, let Sarah do it, Donald. And, Sarah, you do it. And go.
And we're back.
There we go. All right, audience. Audience, I'm so sorry you didn't get to hear that conversation, audience, that we had during our real break.
Secret conversation.
Oh my God, we laughed, we cried.
What we do is we actually take a break that's the length of the advertising. That's what we do.
Yeah.
I knew it. I knew that's how we did it on the podcast.
Wait, you guys, we got to get into this magical fairy tale. So, okay.
Well, it takes a long time to get into the fairy tale on the show, too. Like, I knew it was the fairy tale episode, and after a while, I'm like, yo, when does it become the fairy tale episode?
Okay, well, let's just run through a couple things that are happening in the real world. JD says, I tried to kiss her, and he's no one's there to see his what-the-hell face. So he carries it around over to Dr. Cox all the way in the doctor's lounge. He's like, what do you want? And, you know, we're setting up all the storylines that are going to cross back and forth. Between the princess world and the hospital world, the most important of which is that Sarah has a patient, Elliot has a patient that she cannot diagnose, and
should also talk about the interns and how they're playing that game where it's like Jeopardy, you know, name the diagnose the patient.
Right. And JD's in the room and he's explaining to Cox that
like one of them is Wilson's disease and the other one is like what was the one that JD knew?
I don't remember, but you know, they're talking about gloating and JD's like, I don't gloat. And then he guesses one right and he gloats. And then I do this really horrible.
Cox is like, what annoying thing is happening now?
And I do this really horrible accent attempt at, because you're supposed to do it in a foreign accent. And I do a version of like, a horrible Australian accent. Throw another shrimp on the barbie. And then I'm like, wait, that's Irish. So JD is not very good with accents, we establish.
No,
and then we also get that Jordan and Cox's nanny's mom died. So Jordan has been having to spend time with her child because she's been trying to avoid talking to the nanny at all costs and comforting her. So Perry thus starts to tell a story. And it cuts from, he starts talking about the hospital and it shows me in a yellow Kango hat. And I say, does this hat make me look fly? And then she says, no hospital story. It's a real fairy tale. And so then it cuts to Donald and Turk and Carla are Turla.
Witches that have been fused together at marriage.
Yes. Sarah is a gorgeous princess.
Yes.
And JD is the fool. And he, an idiot, and he said, and he's got the bells fool thing on his head, and he goes, does this hat make me look flyeth?
it jingles when I shake it.
It jingles when I shake it. And that's the cold open.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is if in like medieval language, like an apostrophe then? Because wouldn't he have said, does this hat make me look flyeth? It jingles when I shake it.
Perhaps. I don't, I think we would.
This is just baked. This is just stoner.
Yeah, it's a good stoner question. I'm sure many people that are high listening have the same question. we have to make sure we play to the high audience. So Donald represents you guys.
Well, I've always represented you. I want you to know that.
Yes, for all seven seasons, if you're a stoner who listens to this, Donald's questions represent you guys.
Well, let's be honest. Scrubs was a stoner humor paradise.
But Scrub, if you're not a stoner, if you're not a smoker. If you're not a smoker, you can still appreciate it. You can appreciate it on many levels. Doctors appreciated it. Kids could appreciate it.
Well, let's not bring kids in.
Well, teenagers. It's a little, maybe a little R-rated for kids.
Thank you. Well, let's say just
I know. My
adults.
Son's asking if he can watch it. And I'm like, well, it's sort of like there's no difference between him watching that and a lot of the other comedies he's watching. It's just different when it's your mom. In a bra and underwear.
Yeah, I was about to say, come on.
How old's your oldest, Sarah?
13, just turned 13.
I don't think you should watch it. I don't think you should watch it.
He's a teenager.
No, but no, I mean, his mom is having lots of sex on the show.
I said there's select episodes. I said I would come through and like this episode, for example, would be a great one for him to watch.
Yes, this one would be a great
musical.
One. The musical would be a great one for him to watch. Anyone he's where you're not
like,
naked.
He's going
to
be like, my friends keep telling me about all of this other stuff, though.
There's a pizza episode I heard about.
Right.
Oh, the clock. Pizza clock.
There's a pizza clock episode, Mom. What's that about?
That sounds appropriate.
Mom, like what's pizza? Inappropriate about a pizza clock? I just want to give a shout out to Cabot McMullen, our production designer, Carrie Bennett, our costume designer, and John Inwood, our cinematographer.
Amazing jobs.
Because those departments, including hair and makeup, just did an extraordinary job with this. Everybody, all of these costumes you see, many of them Carrie made. These incredible sets Cabot built, or the big wide shots like in the town square that opens the sequence, that was on the Universal backlot. And it wasn't even actually like, you know, an old, you know, ye old town thing. It was a section of Universal that was not dressed like that. So all of Cabot and his team did all of that to make it look like that. So just a lot of money and time and love and creativity was put into this episode.
Kudos to you, Zach, man. You found some really good shots out of all of the stuff they built, too. You found some really beautiful shots. The shots with Sam and Neil were amazing, walking off into
when
the
distance. When they're walking away and the whole camera's shaking.
Yeah, amazing, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I put a lot of love into this, and I really haven't seen it in so long. So I was so happy that it held up. And I remember at the time thinking... I hope these effects are good enough. You know, the sort of NBC budget level effects were good enough. And I think they look pretty good this many years later.
They looked amazing. And remind me how you guys shot Turk and the Turla. How did you guys shoot that again?
We had to do a green screen. There was like a dude that looked like Finesse Mitchell. I forget his name, but he looked just like Finesse.
He was the body.
Yeah, he was the body. I thought it was Finesse. And I ran up on Finesse. I was like, yo, is that you? He's like, no. Anyway, so... And then I did a green screen and Judy did a green screen.
Just their heads or neck down.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if we ever shot any of the stuff together either.
No.
And a lot of it was shot in the hospital where it was like, we didn't just shoot it in one day also. It was like a couple of days too for different things.
Well, their heads were, everything with them and their heads was on a green screen. And the body, person being the body, probably had a green screen mask on.
I think I worked 2 days. You guys were, that was what I was upset about, because you guys got to be on set and live in this world and stuff like that. And Judy and I were in the hospital where we always worked.
Yeah.
And all they did was hung a green screen behind us and painted our faces. I remember that being me being upset about that.
Yeah, I get it, because this was such a fun adventure. How about Neil as the giant?
That's a lot of freaking makeup. I wonder if he likes sitting in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it's just for one episode, I'm sure it's fine. If you're on one of those Star Trek shows and you got to do that every week, I'm sure it's tough.
I'm not going to say no names, but I had a conversation with somebody who did an episode of a sci-fi show where he had to, just one episode, and he had to wear the prosthetics similar to what Neil did. And he said he would never do the show again. And I was like, but it's so awesome. It's such a great show. And he was like, nope, not if I got to wear that.
What about, think of like Eddie Murphy in the Clumps when he's playing everybody. I mean, I can't fathom how long that must take. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially, yeah, no, I don't.
Or
I don't.
Jim Carrey in all the times he's done stuff like that. Like, that is so much time in the chair.
But wouldn't you want to find out at least one time, though? No, wouldn't you want to try it at least one
time I would
and decide for yourself?
Are you kidding me? If I was of the level that someone would make a Clump-style movie with me playing six parts, it would be a dream. I mean, you'd suffer for your art to do it. But I'm just saying, I don't know what zone Eddie must go into, but doing that every single morning for months and months and months,
has to take more than a week to do, like a scene.
Oh, dude, those Clump scenes where he's playing everyone, that probably took a month.
Right? Amazing.
But anyway, so Neil looks great as the giant.
Aloma goes, why is this town so dirty? He goes, well, irritable townswoman of color.
She accuses him of eating babies, and he says, I don't eat babies. I eat toddlers. And then Doug comes up.
He goes, because babies are quick on the lips, lifetime on the hips.
Right. But then Doug, who is the sort of dead body collector.
Who I did not recognize. I was like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah. It's like the bring out your dead thing.
Monty Python.
Yeah, Monty Python, bring out your dead. He comes up and he's like, I thought you said she'd be dead already. And the janitor says, come back later. Do you have any babies? Toddlers?
Toddlers.
That was cute. And then we meet the village
idiot.
That
was cute.
No, it was cute. I don't know, cute's the wrong word. It was funny. Then we meet the village idiot, who is played by JD/Zach Braff. And he is so enamored with the gorgeous princess. And he brings her a fish that he saved from drowning. And the fish is obviously dead. And he said, he's tired now. But earlier, he was dancing all around. And then I make like a fish that's bouncing on land. Because I'm an idiot. Get it?
That's probably the most idiotic thing JD's
and then we fight.
Ever fantasized in his life.
Yes.
But it's not him fantasizing it. Yeah. This is all a story through Dr. Cox's eyes.
That's right, Donald. We must remember that this is all told through Cox's eyes. That's why it's safe to say he finds Elliot beautiful and not that bothersome, really. He thinks JD is the biggest idiot in the world. He thinks that Turk and Carla have become a know-it-all monolith. What else does he think? He thinks that...
the janitor is some giant...
freak.
Yeah, and...
he had like 18 abs on his armor when Cox comes in.
Oh, yeah, and of course he thinks that... yes, that totally. He thinks that he is the most amazing, handsome savior knight. Yes, who arrives on a beautiful horse. So Sarah, Elliot and I, the idiot, are discussing who tried to kiss who. Remember, this is a pickup from end of season 6 when we almost kissed.
It was your royal tongue that tried to store my mouth castle.
My mouth castle.
My mouth castle.
That's funny. I believe it was your royal tongue that tried to store my mouth castle. So funny. And then she's yelling at me and she says something about her bosoms moving up and down.
There's a lot of bosom talk in this episode, man. A lot of like...
some heaving.
Well, bosoms are a part of a good fairy tale, right? A hefty bosom.
A hefty bosom. Listen, all I know is Turk rubs on his wife's bosom.
That was so funny.
But you know what? I guess because it's his wife, it's okay. I don't know, man. Like,
well, it's his wife, and also
I've seen that meme that's out there right now where the women are doing what the husbands do to them when they're like bent over and, you know, standing in the mirror and stuff. Have you seen this meme?
No. Why? What is it?
No.
So, I am a perpetrator of this. I have, when my wife is, you know, looking in the mirror, brushing her teeth, come behind her and fondled her, or when she's bent over, pretended to hump on her or something like that, or stuck my finger in her butt. You know what I mean? Like, I've done stuff like this to her. There's a meme out of wives doing that to their husbands now, and their husbands not appreciating it at all.
Are they doing it for real or are they pretending?
No, they're doing it for real. They're setting up the camera and the husband is freaking washing the dishes and the wife will come behind him and rub on his chest. And I'm like, don't fucking do that to me. Come on. You know, like pissed off. Like, it's really cute. But I do that all the time. That's what this sounds like when Turk rubs on Carla's.
Well, he grabs Carla's breast and it's their breast. It's actually their breastplate.
Turla's.
He grabs Turla's shared breastplate. Now, on her side, there's a metal breast. On his side, it's just a regular
pectoral. Yes.
But while he's rubbing it, he goes, "That's what I'm talking about."
Mm-hmm. Catchphrase.
And he uses catchphrase. It was very funny when Keith arrives on horseback with the key to the chastity belt.
Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to get the key back to my chastity belt. And then this is going to make so many things so much easier.
Yeah, and then we see the chastity belt drop to the ground because poor Princess has been living with that on.
It was steaming.
It wasn't steaming. It may have been steaming because it was cold and it was metal. I don't know.
Wasn't it so hot when we filmed those? Is my memory correct? Was it so boiling hot and we were in all those layers? I feel like it was very hot.
I don't remember. I don't remember, but that's probably true. How funny is it when Travis arrives in that wig on that Travis horse? He is so funny.
He's so funny in that. I laughed out loud when he comes up on that horse.
It's like, what's that character in Shrek that has that haircut?
The Prince. Farquaad.
Yeah.
Farquaad, yeah.
He's like,
Lord Farquaad.
He's got that hair. By the way, I watched Puss in Boots.
What about Prince Charming in part two, though? What was that? Same thing, right?
It was just Prince Charming, but yeah, they had a similar cut.
I watched Puss in Boots too because Flo's in it and she's Goldilocks. It's really good. I don't know if you guys have all watched it, but it's so well done.
We saw it in the movie theater.
Have you seen it, Joelle?
I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard lovely things.
The script,
I'm really excited about it.
Everything about it's amazing.
I can't wait to see it.
The script and the story is so clever. But I think it'll be scary to some kids, though. Were your kids scared at all?
No, my kids weren't scared of it at all, actually.
Okay.
It's a cartoon. I can explain that. Jump scares are something that's new for them, though. Roblox and their jump scares are a problem because some of the games that are on Roblox. Listen, guys, I love you because you take my kid away from me sometimes when I just want to fucking do shit. But this fucking him waking up in the middle of the night because of these jump scares or because of this stuff on this game is not all right with me. So, you know what I mean? Like,
do adults play Roblox? I don't know what it is.
Absolutely, adults play Roblox. Anybody can play Roblox. It's one of those games where you can do anything. It's like Minecraft.
Daniel, do you ever Twitch on Roblox?
Roblox ain't for me.
Oh, Roblox isn't your steez.
Not my steez.
All right.
My kids love it.
Your kids love it?
See?
They love it.
Okay. All right. So Turla, we talked about that. Now, we also know that Turla is having their time of the month. And Turk of Turla says, our time of the month. Is that why I keep crying for no reason? I didn't ask for this. So Turk is having his period. Okay, we're back. We realize that JD's hair is a combination of horse manure, river mud, and more horse manure.
No, but I want to go back to what he said to the princess when she said something about her boobs.
Yes.
I want to rest my face on them and ponder
what you said. Yeah. She says, I'm breathing. And he goes,
Right. That's what he said. He's like,
about her boobs going up and down. Yeah.
Right. But then your boobs were going up and down.
She goes, yeah, I'm breathing. And he goes, I know. Can I rest my face upon them and ponder what you've said? Everybody loves boobs, Donald.
A lot of boob jokes. Sasha's a mule.
Yes, Sasha is a donkey or an ass or a mule.
To Sasha!
And the makeup on Ted, who's a hunchback. That was incredible. Really
oh my
good
gosh,
job.
Man.
Oh my God, he looked amazing.
And Sam Loyd is just so great in this episode.
He's always great.
And he says, my master approaches, prepare for his untamed vengeance. And there we meet Oslek, who's obviously Kelso spelled backwards. And he is the evil, what is he, a wizard?
I guess so, with the power. Did you ever see, what was the movie with Mark Zinger back in the day where he was the Beastmaster? Did you ever see that?
No, that's not my steez, that kind of movie.
Okay, so in the Beastmaster, for those of you who did see that and do remember it, remember the guys that would freaking wrap you around you with the cloak on, and then when they, and then freaking it would kill you and devour you, and then when they removed the cloak from around you, you were dead, you were like bones and stuff like that. That's the power that Kelso's wizard, that's his wizard power. Like he can freaking appear out of nowhere, and that's his freaking power. He's like got the freaking cloak of darkness, and it takes you to this realm and all of that stuff. That was pretty cool. Like there's a lot of, listen, as much as you want to say this is, you know, just a great written comedy, there's a lot of Dungeons and Dragons and backstory put into this. So
sure.
This was very,
I mean, the main,
well,
of course,
this
the main homage,
very well thought out.
The main homage is Princess Bride, but of course it's fairy tales in general. And I guess you would say Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that.
But kudos to the writers on this, because that turns into a great joke. Like the question was, where does everybody go when Ken's character wraps them up and kills them? And what happens there? Like, what is this power? And when he does it to JD and Sarah, it's real. You know, it's like, oh, is that how they're going to end this episode? That's kind of a, you know what I mean? Because there's no end in sight.
By the way, it's insane. This episode is amazing. What he packed into this episode. It's 22 minutes long. Think how much happens in this episode.
Oh, I thought so it was much. A longer episode as I was watching it. And then I checked the time and I was surprised. I was like, we've been a lot of places.
It's so, there's so much packed in.
Yeah.
To 22 minutes. I mean,
Mark
whoever
Stegman.
Directed it really...
Well,
that's Stegman, but also whoever directed it really brought it. Really brought it.
Who directed this episode? One of the best.
Are you being facetious?
I'm not being facetious.
Who,
I
Mir
was
Donald?
Really trying to die.
Sarah,
really
are you being facetious? Do you not know who directed this episode?
Of course I know. I said it's one of the best episodes we had.
Oh, you're such a good actress. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that's how good an actress Sarah
Sarah,
Tucker
who
is.
Directed this episode?
Zachary Israel Braff.
Oh, I was hoping you'd say somebody else, but yes, you are correct.
Thank you.
Was it
all
me?
Right. Thank you. So then we start doing this really cool, then it really starts finding a flow of cutting back and forth to the hospital and the fairy tale. And Kelso has this thing, as we said, that if you work 12 hours, you're out, you're fired. Doug gets caught working more than 12 hours. So he's just left a body bag in the elevator and the door is closing on it. And Kelso makes Ted grab it, and Ted cracks his back, and now he's cleverly stuck in the position of the hunchback that he plays in the fantasy. And now Turla goes into the potion shop, where we meet Fairy Todd something.
Oh my gosh. Oh, my.
That outfit is so...
Now, is he hanging? Did they put him on a harness and hung and hang him?
Yeah.
Is he sitting on something?
No, he's on a green screen in a full harness, like people who fly in movies.
They didn't shrink him and make him fly?
No, we don't have that technology yet, Sarah. No, so we were truly hanging him by the, you know, like the... He had... what they do is they put an under vest on and they click in hanging cables to your shoulders. So that's how he, or maybe his waist. That's right. That's how he's. And then we, you know, put him on a green screen and put him into the scene. And that's how you make a fairy
child.
So what
is he? Is he a sprite? Is that what he is?
Well, the other kids later are, what do they call them? They're wood nymphs. So I guess he's a sprite. Is that what that is? What's Tinkerbell? He's whatever Tinkerbell is.
Well, Tinkerbell's a fairy. I don't know if he was a...
He calls himself a fairy Todd something.
Right. But he's more like a sprite. His power are more sprightly than... Like, he's more mischievous than fairy-esque. You know what I mean? Like, at least that's how I look at it.
If we look at Shakespeare, you know, Puck is a sprite, but he serves the king of the fairies, so... Yeah, I think.
But Puck is full-sized. I thought fairies were... Tiny. I don't know. It's up for interpretation. So Turk lent the idiot JD the wand, and he uses it and gives himself a tail.
Why would Turk do that? Turk is a fucking idiot, dude.
Well, Turk
is like, you know what?
Turk's, listen.
You could play with it just for a little bit, but don't do nothing stupid.
Just because he's Turla, just because he's Turla doesn't mean that he doesn't love the idiot, JD.
But Carla's there, was there when it happened.
Well, you know he slipped it. You know he slipped into a minor back. He's like, here, I got to go in the potion shop. While Carla's not looking, hold my wand. By the way, I was on, I did Conan O'Brien's podcast. Audience, check that out. I think it comes out the week that my film comes out, which is the 24th, I think, of March. I think it comes out on the 20th or so. But Conan, my point is, was so lovely about the show, our Scrubs, and loving it, but also specifically Donald about our friendship. And he really was very earnest. He wasn't doing any sort of bit or anything. He goes, I love those commercials, the T-Mobile commercials. And he was like, I gotta be honest, I'm not being like, this is gonna sound cheesy, but that Love Actually spoof, I every time it came on, I found it kind of moving. I thought it was like so sweet. And he gave us lots of love.
I do love Conan.
It was Sarah, no offense. It was specifically really about me and Donald and our bromance.
I was completely aware of that. It's fine. None taken, Conan.
Well, I'm sure that Conan loves you, but in this instance, he was specifically talking about me and Donald.
Well, I agree with Conan on this one.
You should see his podcast setup. Oh my goodness.
Daniel, he shames you. If I had the freaking he shames you button, that's what it would be. Daniel.
No, first of all.
He
didn't shame.
I don't think it's just Daniel's fault. How's it Daniel's fault?
No, it's about budget. I think Conan must have the biggest budget in podcast world because it was like going into the Howard Stern show. I mean,
bigger than Dax?
No, Dax is, when I did Dax, it was just two chairs above his garage. I don't know if it's changed. But this was like a full, real studio with robotic cameras and like a staff of like a talk show size staff.
Really?
It was the real.
Did you have to do a pre-interview?
No, but it was just like budget. Hashtag budget. Yeah.
The dream.
But I feel like, I mean, don't you guys prefer just being doing it from your houses?
Yeah, no, I don't want to change a thing. I do wish, and it's impossible. But I see people that have shot their podcast so well, and I wish that we had always done that because we could put it on YouTube eventually. But we never really got around to that.
I like what we have.
My dad's favorite expression, the best time to plant an apple orchard was 20 years ago. The second best time is today.
We have those cameras.
Just shoot it.
Well, we have. Well, Donald doesn't use his. Donald uses his for animation.
We doesn't change the fact that we have it.
You and Joelle aren't doing. Joelle, you're not on your fancy camera.
No, I could plug it in. It's set up.
Well, maybe we'll do it for season 8 and 9.
You guys should, because you're going to do this podcast forever and ever of all days.
No, we're going to do it live, guys. We're doing it live.
That's what Sarah thinks, that we do it live. Then we take ad breaks.
Joel's always counting down. The ad's over. 3.
Guys, ad's over in 3. 2 and you're live.
No, but we are going on tour, guys. This is a fact. We are actually going on tour.
When are you going on tour?
You'll have to come with us. We're figuring it out. We're new.
Do one in Vancouver. You must do one in Vancouver. I'm not going to leave this conversation until you say you're going to do one in Vancouver.
But then if we do it in Vancouver, you have to be involved if we do it in Vancouver. Then if that's the
case. Sarah only does things in Vancouver. Her show was in Vancouver.
She won't leave.
She won't leave. She loves it there.
You guys' next dinner date will be in Vancouver.
Yeah. I know that I will not see Sarah unless she happens to be in Vancouver when I'm there.
That's not true. I've started to come to LA sometimes.
Yeah, but you only hang out with Casey. You don't hang out with us.
Yeah, you don't hang out with
us. Well, no, you hung out with me one time, but you hung out with Casey. You hang out with Casey more than you hang out with me.
Yeah, feelings were hurt. Feelings were hurt.
Damn.
Also find me on Whistler.
Yeah, go to Whistler if you want to visit Sarah.
But yes, do live and do one in Vancouver. When are you going to do your live tour?
I don't know yet. TBD.
TBD, but we're working on it right now. I can say that is for sure.
It's on Donald's whiteboard.
It's not on the whiteboard. This is something that's actually in motion right now, bro.
Well, you can put it on the whiteboard still.
So you can film that.
We will film that. I'm just saying, like, I watch on, you know, I'm sure if you guys get these clips on Instagram in your feed that are like podcast, you know, clips where someone said something really cool. And you're like, wow, that's a cool quote or something. And it was just on a podcast that happens to be beautifully shot because it's also going on YouTube. And like, that's the new trend. And there I was in Conan's like very fancy studio with robotic cameras. And I'm like, I wish ours looked like this. But also, we don't have $9
million. Have it. He spent a
you have Chico Artist.
We do have Chico Artist. Hey, by the way, we haven't given her a shout out for how good her video.
No doubt. Oh, snap. Sarah, now we got Sarah on here too.
Yeah, Chico Artist. Yeah. Now you got to
meet
Sarah.
Oh, shit. Chico Artist. Do me.
Whoa. Whoa, Sarah.
Calm down.
I want to be part of Chico Artist's art.
I know, but you demanded that she do you. I mean, give the woman some
I meant as part room. Of her YouTube art.
Oh, okay. I have to say about Chico Artist, you know what's amazing? You might not have noticed this. And if you don't know what we're talking about, there's a young woman on Instagram named Chico Artist. That's her handle. And she does lip sync videos to the podcast. Do you notice that each character, you guys, she's doing is a single take?
She's not cutting.
One take.
Mm-hmm. There's no edits.
Cutting. No cuts.
How is she
that
not
takes
cutting?
A lot of practice.
This was watching the whole time. I was like, she's not cutting.
I know.
And the
it's skill.
Is perfect. Yeah.
That's right. It's skill.
A lot of work.
Well, Chico Artist, we want to thank you for putting in all the hard work. As always, we like to challenge you, so.
Wu-Tang forever. Wu-Tang forever.
Sarah, do you want to make Chico Artist say anything? Go ahead, say it.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing a chair dance, Chico Artist, so I'd like
this
to see
is,
your
crazy.
Interpretation
this is,
of what is happening. What do you think I'm doing right now?
Everybody's like, yo, listen, why don't you say something? Why don't you say something
for Chico panic. Artist they to panic, do? Like
and everybody
did.
Panics and starts dancing or freaking moving their body or something like that.
Well, Chico Artist, just so Chico Artist is able to do this, Sarah is acting like a mime who's stuck in a small box. It looks like a very small box that her upper body is trapped in.
She was acting like that. She's not anymore.
And there was some hips. There was some hip movement. Chico Artist, peut-être on va parler français un petit peu.
Well, there we go.
What?
Give her some German too, Sarah.
Auf Deutsch, okay. Chico Artist, ich liebe dich.
Give her more than that, Sarah.
That's it.
Ja, ja, lange Zeit, seit ich Deutsch gesprochen habe. Also, ich vergesse alles.
Yeah, there you go, Chico Artist. Yeah, Daniel, do you want to come through this time? Daniel, do you want to say the same thing?
Yeah, I. You know what? The last time my dad told me to speak any German, he said, go up to this person and say, sprechen Sie Deutsch. And I was like, okay, I got this. I went up to that person, tapped him on the shoulder. I went, spooky maluki. And they were like, what? I was 8 years old. Last time I tried to speak German.
You honor me, Daniel.
Okay. We weren't asking you to speak German, Daniel. We were asking you if you wanted to redeem yourself.
And you didn't.
And
you didn't.
Just all right, did. Well, just did. Spooky Maluki? That's living infamy forever.
Joel, how come you always jump to Daniel's defense so quickly?
One, because I love him. Two, because Spooky Maluki is genuinely great.
This is too much for Chico Artist to do, so we'll end Chico Artist, end the segment like this, Chico Artist.
Imagine she pulls out the bong and starts smoking.
Well,
weed.
Chico Artist, you could pull out a fake bong if you want. We don't want to force a real bong into your hands.
It just got.
Because you see her fake sound machine? That shit was hilarious.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Was it was like a Casio. Right. It was like one of those kids' machines.
It was amazing.
All right, we're going to go another break. Sarah, this is going to be a break. You can do whatever you want during this break.
Oh, thank God. There's so much to say.
We'll be right back. Oh.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Let me tell you guys, my family loves our Helix sleep mattress. Ever since we've got it, we've had some of our best sleep yet.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix sleep quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Everybody is unique, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences.
Not only is the mattress the best I've slept on, but the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free.
Helix is offering 20% off of all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/realfriends and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Tecovas are one of my favorite boot brands. They're bringing a fresh perspective to heritage bootmaking. So they've carried forward all the time-honored traditions and quality you find in a great pair of cowboy boots. But they've made some innovations in comfort, style, and service.
These boots are Austin-designed, Texas-tested, and handmade down in the bootmaking capital of the world, Leon, Mexico.
Whenever I slip on my Tecovas boots, I feel the cowboy magic, Donald. They're tough enough for getting dirty, but classic and stylish enough for a night out on the town.
If you ever wonder if you can pull off cowboy boots, you should pull on a pair of Tecovas. You'll see. They'll become your new favorite footwear. Cowboys knew what they were doing when they invented Western wear. If you can't make it into a store, Tecovas delivers the most premium quality and most comfortable Western goods right to your door. Visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. And point your toes west.
As a special opportunity for our listeners, Tecovas has said they will throw in one of their best-selling trucker hats or ball caps for free into any minimum purchase of $100 on Tecovas.com. Just use code REALFRIENDS at checkout. That's REALFRIENDS. It's about a $30 value, and they sell fast, so there are always new styles and looks. Again, for a limited time, just enter code REALFRIENDS at checkout to add a free logo hat to your order as a one-time gift from Tecovas, only at Tecovas.com.
And we're back! Sarah told a very long story. Sarah told a crazy story.
I know, and I actually did chase down the garbage truck this morning because the compost, it's compost. And when it's compost, you can't leave it for an extra week. So I was chasing. That was real.
Oh, no. I have a question.
We're supposed to do that in LA now.
Yeah, when it comes to compost, how long is it supposed to take before it turns into compost, one? And then two, like, what do you do with all of this shit, like, and stuff?
Well, we have weekly pickup, so you're not actually waiting for it to turn into compost. Yeah. I just heard the truck going by, and I went racing down the driveway.
Daniel's going to have the best answer for this, I bet. But in LA now, we're supposed to do this, and it means putting, like, food scraps in your green bin?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Correct. If you contact LA Sanitation, you can go pick up a free pail from them, and they'll give it to you, and you just, you know, take your food waste, put it in the pail, and then put it in your green bin. That's what we're supposed to do now.
But isn't the little pail going to smell unless you empty it every day?
It's an excellent point, Zach. They recommend that you put a plastic bag in there, but you don't throw out the plastic bag into the green bin. If you have biodegradable plastic bags, that's different. But otherwise, you could put a paper bag in there.
Yes, call on Sarah. I call on, she's raising her hand, everybody. Yes, Sarah.
I'm just trying to understand this. So up until now, all of your food scraps just went into the garbage?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or into the garbage disposal, however you choose to do it.
I think that's most of the country, right? Yeah. LA's trying to be progressive and say now.
We're the more progressive state in
is it just LA or California, Daniel?
I believe
California.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I just got a notification for LA County, so that's all I know. And some people have been composting on their own for years. But
all of California's trying to be green by 2030.
We're trying to go green by 2035. Mm-hmm.
No, you knew what I meant.
I didn't know what you meant. You said 30.
No, but 2035. I was trying to do it like that, 2030, 2035, something like that. You can hate me now, but I won't stop now. You can hate me now.
Okay, let's continue.
But I won't stop now.
Okay, so Fairy Todd something, Turk loaned the idiot the wand. Fairy Todd says, you know, I have a big wand if you want to hold it. And then he says, Banana Hammock Fairy 5. And then we cut back to reality, and he says, I love slapping people 5. And so Elliot says, we have to page him in the hospital world. And then when
before we go further, Carla uses the high five as a form of leverage to skip ahead of the Todd who's waiting at the lab for a sample. But Carla wants to say her sample first so that she can help Elliot.
Right. So she,
ransoms the five away from the Todd, and he lets her go forward. And Todd says something like, still can high fives, something like that. It was cute. Still allowed to high five?
Yeah.
And then he says, I love to high five. Because I love to high five.
Yeah, I just love high-fiving people. Yeah. So Elliot has to page him, then that's clever. We cut to the fairy tale world, and she sends a dove, which is the equivalent of paging someone back in the day. And then comes in the most brave, handsome, sexy, badass knight, Dr. Cox. And he goes in to try and fight the monster.
And gets the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah, the monster beats his ass. I thought that was a great cowboy switch when the monster... there's a shot where the monster hurls him out of the hut, and it's really well done because it's Johnny C's stunt double taking the giant toss, and then Johnny C pops up in the foreground without a cut. It was really cool. Did you guys notice that?
Yes.
Love a cowboy switch.
Yeah, it was a pretty dope cowboy switch.
We do it pretty well on Scrubs, man. You love a cowboy switch, Zach.
Backwards cowboy switch?
Well, I learned it on...
Zach definitely loves a reverse cowboy switch.
Sarah tried to just make
switch.
A sex joke there.
It's reverse cowgirl switch.
I don't even know what to say, but it's a clever sex joke, Sarah. For those of you who haven't listened to the episodes where we talk about a cowboy switch, it's when you don't cut. The stuntman or woman does something really crazy, and then the actor who's playing the actor is somehow swapped out without cutting. They pop up in the foreground or something. That's a cowboy switch.
But what's a reverse cowgirl switch, Zach? That's what I want to
know. I didn't know the lingo. I tried. I don't know what it's called.
Sarah, you know what a reverse cowgirl is. Come on. Don't act like you're an innocent Vancouver woman.
Back to the show.
All right. So this is
Daniel, don't play it. Guests don't have that power. No.
She's trying to be like Bill now and change the subject.
Isn't this my podcast?
No, it's not your podcast. Best line of the whole
show.
Joelle
says it's my podcast.
But best line of the whole show. Are you out of your mind, woman? We only got one ball. Donald, do it.
Yeah. Are you out of your mind, woman? We only got one ball.
Now, that's funny because Turk only has one ball. But Turla probably would only have one ball.
One ball.
That's one ball.
That's a really interesting set of genitalia right there. Like, I personally would be interested in seeing
Turla's genitalia.
Yeah, because it would be half ball and shaft.
Hopefully there's enough shaft to use half vulva.
I'm confused.
Well, if the genitalia is split down the middle.
Right.
And we know that Turla is a very sexual being.
Yes.
How does it hook up with itself? We'll just leave the audience to daydream on that. You can daydream on that.
That's on y'all now.
That's on y'all. That's whatever on you're y'all. Thinking, that's on y'all
that's
brain.
On y'all.
That's on y'all's y'all. Brain.
Yeah.
That's it's another y'all. Ass Bill.
Whatever you're thinking, that's on y'all's so brain. Y'all. We didn't y'all. Say that.
We didn't say it. That's on y'all.
All right. Let's we gotta wrap it up soon.
It's not every day that
okay,
we have
one of the
Sarah
funniest things
us.
Was Neil getting his shoelace tied. And he's like, my uncle's family was killed by an untied shoelace. A madman hacked them to pieces.
Yeah. We've gone a long time, but that's okay. This is an epic episode. And we have the Sarah Chalk. So then Jordan is the scary old lady in the bushes. And then we reveal that it's her with a face mask on. I thought that was really cute. She's saying, Perry, let him go to bed. And then we go to the commercial. That's the whole first act of the show.
Holy shit, we're only at the first act.
I know. And I just saw that the...
Donald had such a great line that we can't skip over. He says, baby, maybe you could lull the monster to sleep with one of your boring stories about your damn family.
That's when she punches him in the ball.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I'm seeing this cowboy switch I'm talking about comes after the commercial break. It's in act. It opens act 2 of the show. And that's where Are You Out Your Mind?
Wait, can we take a break now?
No, no, there's no breaks.
No, there's no break. We're just going to keep
going. And then we learn that we need the golden ring. So, and then we hear, remember what you heard when you weren't even listening. Okay, so that becomes sort of the theme. We need to remember, that's what we get told by the night.
It's really interesting. We're learning this year how important Sarah's patient, I'm sorry, how important Elliot's patients are to her. But in the last episode, we learned that Elliot was, you guys went on that quest to find out if she, if the patient was still alive or if the patient got sick because.
Yeah, because of the diabetes drug and Plomox, right?
Right. But what was her reasoning for it? Like, is it because in this one, she's doing it because she really wants to save this. She wants to figure out what's wrong with this young girl and why her kidneys are failing.
Yeah, and that one, she was concerned that the drug Plomox had hurt one of her patients or killed him with diabetes. But again, keep in mind, these weren't supposed to be next to each other.
But they, I'm trying to figure out, there could be a connection in both of them because the storyline is still very similar. Where
Elliot likes to go on quests with JD. I mean,
well,
there you
not
go.
Just that, but not only quests with JD, but quests for her patients.
Yes.
To try, you know, for it's, they're all noble quests.
Yes, Elliot doesn't give up on a patient. That's for darn sure. She'll do anything to figure things out. Along the road, we run into Elliot and JD are riding the donkey, and they run into Ted and the janitor, and Ted says something that made me laugh. He says, "I tell most people I'm under an evil spell, but really it's a self-esteem thing, self-confidence thing." And then we get captured, and Elliot and JD, and we get sent to the dungeon where we see Doug's head on a stick.
Yes.
And we try and kiss, which was funny. With our, she admits, "'Twas I that tried to kiss you."
And we're too far apart to kiss. So we're like trying to reach. We're all chained up to the wall, trying to reach a little more tongue.
Yeah.
We can't reach.
And then
Doug's head is on a stick. I said that, right?
But then we're in the office with Kelso. And Kelso is explaining why you have to go home. And you're like, "I'm private practice." Elliot's like, "I'm private practice." And JD's like, "And I have no patient interaction when I'm with rolling with her, so you can't get sued for this." Because it starts off with him saying, "You guys are both suspended," or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And then he's not wearing pants.
Yeah, he says, "I can do whatever I want." And to show this off, he stands up and he's wearing boxers behind his desk.
He would have been fired right then and there. Nowadays, guess what? No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's a wrap.
So then we encounter the wood nymphs, and the wood nymphs, who are the interns, provide us with a golden ring. And then in the real life,
You guys remember what you heard.
And yes,
that was from the two.
What JD heard, Wilson's disease, which cleverly, these genius writers, is a little golden ring around the iris. That's how you find it. So, and how about that set transition back into the ICU?
Oh my God.
Come on.
That was so cool.
Paperboard, like Alice in Wonderland.
I'd forgotten that. That was so cool.
I think at the time, I think it was Zach Braff.
Zach Braff, not really a horse rider, are you, bud?
No. I mean, I'm certainly not an expert enough to look good.
Did you ever put it on your resume when you were younger?
Probably. I put everything on there. Hockey, everything.
Rowing.
Because yeah. the ideology was like, just when you get the job, you'll figure that shit out.
You'll learn. Right. You'll figure it out.
The problem is now that you're a director and you hire someone that says like, I can play soccer. And then you go to film it and you see how badly they are at soccer. You're like, oh, I can't believe that anymore.
Right.
No, and also, as a kid, I feel like when you put that shit on there and you were like, hockey, like you'd actually figure it out. Now that we're in our 40s, you can't just figure that shit out. I'm trying to learn how to play hockey. It's
you ain't
easy.
Putting no I play hockey on my resume shit.
But Sarah says she's learning to play now in her 40s.
Oh, good for you. You know, but you know how to skate.
Nope. Did not grow up skating. Only Canadian. Did not.
That's right. Learning your sister now. Could skate. Everybody else could skate. You couldn't.
I've never, it's so hard. It's so hard and such a hard surface.
But Sarah, you can dance.
Okay. We're getting another dance, everybody. It's a bit of a twerk now, everyone. You didn't get to see it, but it was a twerk.
And get it, go.
I think Aviator Nation should send you some sweatpants for twerking in their sweatpants like that.
Oh, I think they should. I think they should.
All right.
Oh yes. Okay. Wait. Before we were on the horse, you said something really funny, Zach.
Go ahead.
Missing one of my favorite lines. You missing what you could have had when you tried to kiss me earlier. Good morrow.
Good morrow. instead of hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good morrow. That made me laugh.
And then it wraps up as the night goes through town and the camera cranes through the village. And those of you who like mistakes, I didn't see this. Obviously, I would have fixed it probably, or if I could have. But when Sarah and I are up on that bridge around 2120, you can clearly see that she's standing on plywood and I'm standing on black boxes. as a director, that really annoyed me that wasn't taken care of. So if you like mistakes, there's one for you. But overall, great episode, everybody. And Sarah, it's so fun to have you here.
Big shout out to Cox and Jordan at the end with the cute little scene by the door.
Oh,
yeah. It turns tragic, yes. And it really makes you feel it. You know what I mean? Where Jordan's listening the whole time and she's like, so what happened? Did the girl get the new kidney? Did she live? What happened? What's the end of the story? Is that how it ends? And he's like, well, that's how I'm telling it.
Everything, that was great.
He's like, everything turned out fine. She's like, it really did it? And he's like, well, that's how I'm telling it.
That's great.
Because it gives you
Scrubs gut punch fashion.
Yeah, you know what really happened.
Yeah.
They were too late.
Yeah. So well done. So well done by everybody involved. And I'm proud of it. If you're someone who revisits Scrubs episodes, check this one out. Because I think it's definitely, I think, one of my favorite ones. And it was particularly special.
It was a great episode, Zach.
Thank you.
I'm not going to lie, man. You do very good episodes and movies.
Thank you.
I'm very excited for everybody out there. Shameless plug to see a good person.
Please, shameless plug.
I can't wait to see it. Donald, have you seen it? Have you already gotten to see it?
I've already seen it. Yeah. I've seen it already.
I can't wait to see it.
Thank you, Sarah. And please... I'm going to be doing a screening in Seattle. Maybe you'd come to that. That's close enough to you. But everybody, please, if you haven't yet, check out the trailer for A Good Person. It's on YouTube under A Good Person trailer. And we got some more content that'll be rolling out very soon. And it comes out March 24th at a theater near you. All right. I love you guys. Sarah, we love you.
You guys, gorgeous. I love you. That was so fun.
Listen,
this
is how I know we have something special. We were up on this motherfucker for an hour and 33 minutes.
Well, we could do 2 hours with Sarah Char.
It felt like 10 minutes.
I had a chat GPT scene for us to do, but we'll do it next time when Sarah
You don't want to
again.
Do it now?
We're getting real long. I mean, an hour and a half, I feel like it's a bit long.
They love it when we go long.
They do love it. I'm just saying.
All right, do you want to quickly do a ChatGPT scene?
Yeah!
All right, Sarah, do you know what this is, Sarah?
I don't. Fill me in.
All right, so I'm going to text you. Get your phone out. We had AI. There's a thing called ChatGPT that will write scenes, and I had it write a scene. I'll give you the prompt that I gave it, and it wrote a scrub scene. I'm going to text it to you right now.
Okay.
I'll read the stage directions. All right, everyone. So, sorry, we're going to stay and do one quick ChatGPT scene for you. I will read the stage directions. Sarah, you will read the part of Elliot. The only instruction I gave ChatGPT was to write a scrub scene where Elliot confesses to Turk that she's truly in love with Turk. Okay, on the stage directions. Scene opens in the hospital hallway with Elliot and Turk walking together.
Turk, I have something to tell you.
What is it, Elliot?
ChatGPT chose the term L's.
What is L's. It, L's?
I've never been called L's, but we're going to take it.
Yeah, but ChatGPT's shaking it up. Let's start again.
From the top.
Okay, from the top, but leave that in, Dale. Scene opens in the hospital with Elliot and Turk walking together.
Turk, I have something to tell you.
What is it, L's?
Well, I've been doing a lot of thinking lately, and I've realized that I'm more in love with you than JD.
What? How can that be? I thought you two were meant to be.
And then the stage direction is Elliot blushes.
Which I will now do on my own. There we are, blushing. I know, but there's just something about your big, strong, muscular build that makes my heart skip a beat.
Well, I didn't see that coming.
I'm serious, Turk. I love your strength, your confidence, and the way you always know what to do. You're just the kind of man I want by my side.
Well, in that case, I'm glad to know I'm your top pick.
You're more than just a pick, Turk. You're my heart and soul.
I love you too, Else.
The scene closes with the two of them walking off, smiling and holding hands.
What the fuck, you go. Dude.
Wow. Chat GPT.
Yo, Zach, why are you freaking putting porn into the freaking
chat? That's not porn. It won't do porn. I've tried to do porn. It censors any porn.
Freaking, that's like some freaking JD fantasy shit. Like,
no, listen, I tried to make it more pornographic and it won't do it. It censors you. So all it'll do is hold hands.
What were your other tries?
My very first thing I typed into it was write a scene with Turk and GD banging, and it was like I ain't having that.
That's not doing that.
it was like error 404.
Error 404.
Yeah, you know, like Hal in 2001, like, what are you doing, Zach? I'm afraid I can't let you do that, Zach. What are you doing, Zach? All right, that's it. We love you. Count us out, Sarah, in German.
Fünf, sechs, sieben, acht.
About a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's a story. Natural should know.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, it's simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. You can learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Hey guys, I've been telling you about how we are big fans of Tecovas boots. Heritage, tradition, quality, comfort, style, and service are some of the best features of Tecovas. But now they also have a gift for our listeners.
Tecovas will throw in one of their best-selling trucker hats or ball caps free with a minimum purchase of $100 at Tecovas.com.
Just use code REALFRIENDS at checkout. That's REALFRIENDS.
That's TECOVAS.com. And point your toes west.